Father God, we thank you for this privilege to be in your house. We thank you that you are a God that loves us so much, that you're willing to speak into our lives. And Lord, I give you this time as we wrap up this series. Lord, I just ask that you would help all of us put aside the baggage and just the junk of this world, and we can truly just open our hearts and our spirits and our souls to you, Lord, that you could speak in and challenge us and encourage us to continue to seek you first, to continue to do the things that you are calling us to do, Father God. And I just ask that you help me get out of the way, that your word would be spoken this morning, not mine, Lord, and that we will have walked out this morning changed just a little bit because of sitting in your presence and under your teaching. Lord, we want to experience you, and we simply ask for that this morning. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no question that we worship a big and powerful God. The question for us is, do we believe and trust God enough to fully follow him? Over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at places in the scripture in the Old Testament that really show why we can put our full belief in God, why we can fully trust in God. And we've been reminded that, you know what, even if we, those moments that we struggle in our belief, we can cry out to the Father and we can ask him to help and strengthen our belief, and he loves us and he doesn't look at us with disappointment, but he's willing to give us what we're in need of and to strengthen our faith. And we wrap up the series today by looking at how we can and should and need to stay devoted to God. And again, once we get to that place where we're believing and we're trusting and we're operating kind of in that mode within our faith, we really need to fight to stay there. So Petey was a really smart five-year-old, and after some thought, he had decided that he wanted a baby brother. And so he went to his dad, and he said, look, Dad, he's like, I really want this baby brother, and so much so, I'll do whatever I can to help the process along. So his dad thought, here's a teachable moment. So he says, I'll tell you what, Petey, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee that God will give you one. Well, this was great news for Petey. He was thrilled to death about this. He responded eagerly and to his dad's challenge, and he would go a little early to bed every night, and he would pray solidly for a baby brother. He prayed every night for an entire month. But after that time, he began to, you know, get a little skeptical. So what do you do when you get skeptical? You go talk to your friends about this, right? So he shares with his friends that his dad said, 2 months, and I can have a baby brother. And it was unheard of. His friends were skeptical as well. They had never heard that. That had never worked in their homes. And so after a certain point, Petey quit praying. After another month, Mom went to the hospital. When she came back, his parents were in the bedroom. They called Petey in. And he went in there, and there's this little bundle next to Mom. His dad pulls back the blanket, and there was not one baby brother, but two. Mom had had twins. Dad looked at him and said, now aren't you glad you prayed? Petey thought for a moment and said, yeah, but aren't you glad I quit when I did? So what is the one of the keys of staying devoted in the faith? We know we can stay strong in belief and trust. It's prayer. But the bottom line is, like Petey, many of us are easily discouraged. Maybe we get skeptical. And frankly, a lot of us give up on prayer before we should, especially, I think, and I'll make the argument, when we are praying for something that seems far off in the future. I mean, we live in an instant society. I mean, really, pretty much, the fact that my sister-in-law, we were talking about, I was with my parents last night, and we were just talking about the amazing technology that we're seeing. And even when I was young, if you would have told me we'd have this computer we carried around in our pockets and you could ask, you don't even have to type it in, you can ask it something and pretty much, by and large, it would give you that answer. And so we were talking, like, my sister-in-law lives in Naperville, and then when they put in an order for Amazon, it's there within an hour, right? I mean, just this instantaneous stuff. And so when we pray and we don't get it instantly, then that's just how we are. And here's the thing, prayer is a tough discipline to stick to, and I would argue, even in the best of circumstances, right? A, we have short attention spans. As a generation, as a people, you know, we like to point to the generations that come after us and say they have short, we all have short attention spans. Again, it's the fast-moving culture, it's the instant gratification, all those things that come into play. Here's the other thing. The devil knows better than we do how powerful prayer is, And so, of course, he wants to throw distractions at you. Of course, he doesn't want you to be a solid prayer. You know, and so there are times, I think sometimes we look at prayer, for some of us it seems boring. Other people, we are way too busy and we just, you know, to pray, we just can't squeeze it in. For some of us, we are hands-on and we're doers, and I still struggle with this. Prayer for me feels passive, and I know it's not because I'm inviting God into a situation, but in my mind, you know, if I can look at it and figure it out, my knee-jerk reaction is to go to work on it. I mean, that's just part of who I am. And the list goes on of why prayer is tough. But the bottom line is prayer is tough. And here's the thing. And when, if you've had that moment and you've prayed about something and it gets answered, I think it brings us confidence, it builds a little momentum, and it's easier to pray then, right? When it's a definitive example that you've seen, you prayed, God showed up, he answered, it puts power into our prayers. But the thing is the flip side is also true, right? So we pray and we pray and pray, and it just doesn't feel like either God's listening or whatever, and it gets harder and harder to stick with that prayer. And here's the thing, if we're praying for something that's going to take years or possibly decades to come around, it is tough to stick with that. I mean, those prayers challenge our very fortitude in that. And so this morning, I'm going to encourage you to be long-term prayers. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to challenge you to pray like a farmer. No, that does not mean that you're praying for good weather, even though if any of you want to join me in praying for a light winter, I would accept that. We'll pray against Steve. We'll pray against Angela, some of those other crazy people that like snow and cold. But what do I mean by praying like a farmer? Well, I think Jesus hit on that in one of his parables, Matthew 13, 31 and 32. He said, he put before them yet another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in his branches. Now, all of us are smart enough to realize that Jesus is not sharing his arborist or gardening knowledge here. This is not some advice for farmers. This has everything to do with what we have been talking about over the last 2 weeks. This talks of belief. This is talking about how we can trust in God. And here's the thing. We are broken humans with just a little bit of capacity compared to God. But when we can put just a little bit of belief, a little bit of trust in Almighty God, what God can do and take that little bit and what he can do through that is absolutely phenomenal. And again, here Jesus is sharing this parable that explains the same thing. A little belief, a little trust can pay off so much bigger than we can imagine. And yet so often in our lives, we just do what we do. We see what we see with our senses. We muddle through. We know God's out there. We know he loves us. We don't know how much he's paying attention. We look at our own limitations. We look at our own brokenness. We look at ourselves in the mirror and go, what do I have for the kingdom? What can I bring to the table? And Jesus Christ is going, all you need is this. Just a little bit if you bring it to me and trust in me. And prayer is like that. Just a little bit can blossom into something absolutely amazing. What the key is, we need to stay devoted to it. Too often we give up too early before something shows up. Because here's the thing, you are at your most powerful when you pray. That's it. I don't care how gifted you are, I don't care how talented you are, I don't care how many resources you have. The most important and the biggest potential you have for the kingdom is prayer. God moves when we pray. And again, as that parable shows, a little prayer in the hands of Almighty God can grow into something that we cannot even fathom. But here's the truth. We struggle in prayer. And as I thought about that concept, why we struggle in prayer, and I had mentioned, you know, I think Satan attacks, that we have short attention spans and other things. Another reason I came up with is I believe that we struggle in prayer because I think we forget the prayers that God has answered in our lives. We pray it, he answers it, life goes on, we move. And then we find ourselves in a desperate situation. We throw that quick last-minute 911 prayer because we're desperate, and then it doesn't happen. And so then we feel God just doesn't pay attention to us. And that's how we judge God. Not on the faithfulness of the past. In this one instance, we prayed for this. He didn't come through, so obviously God doesn't matter, or he doesn't listen, or prayer doesn't work. So I want to challenge you just for a moment to try to think of prayers that maybe you prayed and you forgot about. How many of you, when you were young, prayed that you would be married someday? I did. When I was in high school, because I knew I didn't want to live the bachelor lifestyle very long. So I prayed for my future spouse. How about kids? How many of you prayed that someday before you were married and whatnot, that God would bless you with children? And again, if you've prayed those prayers, now you have them and you're in the midst of that, we don't tend to remember. How about any of you who have prayed for a long period of time that somebody specifically would be saved, and then they come to Christ and whatnot, and the years go by, and there have been a brother and sister so long that you forgot there was a time that you were praying for them to come to the faith? What about a job or a career? Or for healing? I guarantee, I think if you have been a Christian for any length of time and I sat here and said, I want to give you some time and go out, sit in the church for 10 minutes with a piece of paper, and I want you to think back to prayers that you maybe prayed a decade ago or 2 decades ago, and you show me and see how God's faithfulness is. Because we don't tend to live in that mindset, right? It's the, what have you done for me lately? I mean, God has blessed us in ways that we cannot even imagine, and he's been there, and yet we live in this small little bubble of time, and we look at what is yet to come, or the right now, and we forget time and time and time again how faithful God has been to us. And here's the thing. Prayer is not a slot machine, right? And I don't go to casinos. I know you don't pull your arm anymore, and you push a button, right? But some of us act prayer like that, right? So if I pray the right time and the right prayer and I get lucky, I win the jackpot. And God goes, okay, you get this. Prayer is like farming. We plant that prayer, we trust, and over time, it'll grow. Now, some seeds grow instantly, right? Other seeds take an incredible amount of time to grow, and that's how prayer is. We have to be faithful in that. We need to continue to be planting those seeds. On the Swedish island of Visingö, there's a mysterious forest of oak trees. And it's mysterious because oak trees are not indigenous to the island. And nobody remembered how these trees had got there. Its origin had been unknown for almost a century. Then in 1980, the Swedish Navy receives a letter from the Forestry Department reporting that their requested ship lumber was ready. The Navy had no idea what they were talking about. So they had looked in and did a little bit of historical research. And it was discovered that in 1829, the Swedish Parliament of the time recognized that it took oak trees 150 years to mature, anticipating a shortage of lumber by the turn of the 21st century, ordered 20,000 oak trees to be planted and protected for the Navy. 150 years, they were looking ahead in recognizing the need. And you know what? Sometimes prayer is like that. We can't just live in the now of prayer. We have to have the long sight. Joseph had a dream that didn't come true for 17 years. Remember? He was going to rule over, you know, the whole coat of many colors, thrown in a pit, thrown in jail, and all that stuff. And he knew he was going to be lord over his brother 17 years. Hannah and Sarah prayed for years to have a baby. Sarah was what, 90-something years? How many decades did she feel like a failure? How many decades did she feel like God must not care, must not listen? But she stuck with it, and eventually God blessed them. The children of Israel cried out to God for 423 years for a deliverer before God sent Jesus Christ to do what God had promised his children. Can you imagine being an Israelite in that time frame, knowing that God had believed, God had shown his people and promised his people that the deliverer was coming? There were people that prayed their entire life in that prayer. They never saw it come true. Here's the thing about prayer. God wants us to pray big prayers, and I talked about this last week, that are bigger than us, because if we pray little prayers, that we can accomplish and we do it. God wants to show up in our lives. God wants to blow our hair back. God wants to show up in such a way that you and your family have to say, praise God, because there's no other way that this could happen unless he showed up. We pray too small. But also, God wants us to pray for the long haul. God wants us to be devoted to Him in prayer, even if the answer comes at the end of our lives or even after. We need to be praying. So I want to encourage you. I want you to become prayer farmers, if you will. That you will find prayers that you will pray that you don't know down. And I'm going to just share with you some of those that are on my list. Things that I've been praying for at least over a year. Beth and I have prayed that our kids get spouses that will encourage them in their faith and help them become closer to God. And we've been praying that prayer since before they were born. And I truly believe that we are in the short run as our kids get older and God's going to answer that prayer. We also pray for lots of healthy grandbabies. No pressure, kids. But that's one of those. You know what? I've been praying that I will get to see at least 50 years of marriage with Beth. I will tell you, when she battled breast cancer, that prayer got a little harder to pray. But now I am fervently trusting and believing that God will do that. I am praying that my kids, and been praying this since they were little, that they will find their God-given purpose, and I would get to see at least some of that fulfilled, and I want to see them impact this world for Christ in the way that God has made them. I've been praying, I want to write and eventually publish a book, and I don't know when that time would be, but that is something God put on my heart. This is a newer one. I have been praying that I will be a one-church pastor who gets to preach at the same church for 30 to 35 years. Now, that's a newer one. I was raised in a denomination that every 4, 5, 6 years, the pastors faded out. And I will tell you, some of you that were here at the early stage of this church, I wouldn't have prayed that prayer at all, right? Because I couldn't imagine. I mean, I'm right now working on year 19. Early on, I wouldn't have dreamed that. And in the process of meeting other pastors and seeing churches that are healthy and stable, I've met pastors that did. They spent their entire career at one church, and God blessed that. I can see that now when I couldn't. So you might be stuck with me for a while. I've been praying. This is something that's been on my heart, probably because I was a missionary kid, and I don't know how that would fit, if it'd be retirement or maybe a sabbatical at some point. But I would love, Beth and I would love to be a missionary in Europe somewhere for a 1 or 2 year stint. And God put that in my heart years and years and years ago. That's in His hands. I also have been praying that God would use, after I don't feel like a grizzled old pastoral veteran at this time, but I would pray that God would use me to mentor young pastors. And then finally, I've been praying that God would give me a motorcycle ministry. No, okay, that one's not true, but I might need to because, man, you all know. I told Beth the other day, I said, you know what, by the time I'm 50, I'm going to have that motorcycle. And her comment is, well, if we can get some kids out of the house, that would probably work. So there we go. All right? Here's my point. Do you have a long-term list? The other one I didn't add when praying for my own children, I'm praying for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, that they'll stay close to the faith. I read somewhere at once that Christianity is always one generation from extinction. And if I don't pass it on to my kids, if I don't pass it on to my help them pass it on to their grandkids, then my great-grandkids might not know Jesus at all. That's a prayer that I'm praying now that I probably won't get to see. I'm hoping Jesus comes back before that and none of us will get to see that. But we need to be praying those long prayers. Are you pushing? I mean, are you pushing yourself to pray bigger? Are you pushing to having a longer view when it comes to prayer? And I know what I'm asking is hard. Again, to look at something that you're going to pray decades for and to stick with it. And I will confess that those list of prayers that I showed you, I don't think any of those I've prayed every single day. And there are some that I pray more frequently than others. Those ones that hit close to home for my kids and my family, those. But we need to be investing. I mean, I truly think when I look, and I'm lucky enough to have been raised in a home where my parents have been praying for us forever, and I think I am enjoying some of those answers of prayer that my parents prayed 20, 30 years ago. But if they hadn't, how would it be different now? So how are you doing farming, right? Psalm 69:13 says this, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. We see the psalmist's heart in this, and I just want to point out two quick things to you. At an acceptable time, the psalmist realized that again, and I said this, I think, a couple weeks ago. You've heard it multiple times. God's timing is perfect. And even though we might be praying and we might want something absolutely right now, we have to put the timing in God's hands. And we can't allow, you know, our short attention span to get in the way of our long-term praying. God is going to be faithful. We need to be devoted and faithful on the other time. And I think in that acceptable time, we have to cling to our belief. We have to continue to put our trust that God knows what he's doing and all those things, and just to walk that path. And the other one is in the abundance of your love. And I think that goes back to that. We need to pray big thing. God loves you more than you can understand, with a fullness and an incredible love. And so he invites us into this purpose thing, right? God doesn't need our help. You hear quite often off the pulpit, God has a purpose for you. He wants you to work in his kingdom. He wants you to do these things. That has nothing to do with you doing it for him, right? He doesn't need your help. He allows us to do that stuff. He allows us to partner with him for our own good. So in that abundance of your love, we need to be praying big and enjoying that component. So obviously the service, as I said, is in a little different order today. And it's because if you looked at your right side of the bulletin, that's where, you know, sermon notes have been, the families of the week. If you look at that, it says long-term prayer lesson. So I wanted to just carve out 3 or 4 minutes in the service where I could make you think long-term, to force the issue a little bit. So I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to literally give you 3 or 4 minutes, and I want you to think, okay, what should I be, if you don't have that long-term prayer list, what should I be praying for 10, 20, 30 years, or how many years God is going to bless us with? And then I'm going to step up, or I'm going to nod at praise team. They're going to come. They're going to do our prep for prayer. And then we're going to pray together as a congregation. We always do. But my challenge would you to be to share some of that long-term stuff. Let's pray 20 years down the pipe. Let's look at that together as a congregation, trusting that as we plant those seeds. I mean, what seeds could we plant this morning that God can use in an amazing way? And maybe some of us will still be here 20 years later, and we'll go, man, remember back in 2018, God brought us and challenged us to pray long term, and this prayer came out of that? So I'm going to sit down again, get your pencils out, take a few minutes, just ask the Spirit what you should be praying for, and then again, we'll go into that prayer time together, and we'll share our hearts with one another.